This past summer, I was contacted by a lay leader from a congregation here in Nashua who was looking to me for some advice on getting a social justice committee or social responsibility or whichever name they were considering, something like that formed for their congregation. He wanted to talk with me about how we do it here. I was glad to help. I was a little flattered that he was looking at us as being a model. There were probably some other congregations in the community he could have contacted for the same reason that he chose us. Well, as we went through our conversation, I said, kind of drawing on some of what we do here, that there's usually three modes or three levels of operation that a congregation can use when it tries to engage or does engage in doing social justice work. These were three that were also pointed out in that congregation-wide workshop we had back here last spring, that first weekend in April. I don't know what names were used then, but the ones that I used in this conversation I had, I called them good works, education, and advocacy. Well, I'm going to come back and revisit those in just a few minutes before we hear from some of the members of our committee here to talk to you and share with you about some of the initiatives that they're undertaking this year. I want to take a few moments first to say why I think that this social responsibility, social justice component of a congregation's life is an important one. And it's quite simply because I believe that any healthy religious community, whatever its religious orientation is one that is both inner-directed and outer-directed all at the same time. And when you think about it a little bit, that applies to individual and personal lives as well. A man or a woman who is entirely focused on his or her personal issues is, among other things, you know, about a whole heck of a lot of fun to be around. You know, when it's all about me, there's not a whole lot of room for the we. There's another side to that coin. Conversely, let's say a person who is continually just latching on to whatever event or happening or cause or group that happens to be out there that looks attractive to them that week, in many cases does not have a very strong personal center and could well be using the outer world to fill up an inner void. And generally speaking, they're not a whole lot of fun to be around either. So staring down the middle here, the people that I find that I'm most drawn to, that I most like to be around, I know I am far from being alone in this, are those who have a good sense of who they are, what they're about, know how to take care of themselves and their needs, know when to reach out to others in order to do that. And while at the same time being aware of the truth that we are all relational beings, that we discover some of the deepest aspects of our personal lives and our personal humanity when we seek to live out those connections with other human beings, or with some other human beings with whom we choose to share in a common life. Well, so it is with individuals, so it also is with religious communities. In order to be healthy, as I believe we are here, we need to be both, as I say, inner and outer directed at the same time. How we relate to one another here in this congregation, how we care for one another, how we support and encourage one another in our journeys of meaning in the spirit, as well as just how we take care of our necessary business. These are among the things that help to create our center, or what Michael Thoreau called in that workshop he did with us a couple years ago, what he called our burning coal. And it's from that center, it's from that burning coal that we then seek to engage with the larger community, the larger world, the world in which we seek to apply our principles and our values. And this is a congregation-wide exercise. It's a congregation-wide calling. It's not something to be relegated to the efforts of one committee, like a social justice committee. And that's the message we're looking to convey in this service. Our committee here really should be serving as a catalyst or a clearinghouse for the entire work of our congregation when it comes to our social advocacy and outreach. To digress from that in just a moment, I think that same principle really needs to apply in many, many areas of our congregational life, in many, many places that our other committees do their work. Take for just one example, quick example, religious education. I think that's an area, too, where we as a congregation need to see as a shared responsibility And the RE committee is the channel through which we each and all take some share of responsibility for this crucial piece of our church life. So teach a Sunday school class now and then. Today, however, we're keeping our focus on our social justice committee. And before we hear from the members of that committee, let me take a few moments to go back and quickly go over those three levels that I spoke of earlier that I brought up in the conversation I had with my friend last summer. There's a level of good works. That is to say, just working to alleviate or attend to an immediate need. Lots of religious communities do that. Historically, that's been the role that churches and synagogues, other communities of worship and fellowship have played in their communities. We do things here. Assist the local soup kitchen, help to get a facility in place for the homeless, as we've done, raising funds to help cover prescription drugs for those who can't afford them. We've also done that through the Pastoral Care Center here. Most of the outreach collections that we take up here on a Sunday morning are to go for these kinds of immediate need, immediate good work kinds of causes and efforts. Now, sometimes the term that's used to describe these kinds of efforts is Band-Aid. And I have to say, that designation, even when it's true, bothers me a little bit if it is used to somehow diminish the importance or the value of these kinds of good deeds. Because after all, if someone is bleeding, then applying a Band-Aid is the right and proper and moral thing to do. But I'll stick with my bleeding metaphor here now that I've introduced it. It's also right and good to do things and ask the questions of why the bleeding is occurring in the first place. This takes us to the second kind of social justice or social outreach level, which is education. Education asks why. What are the causes? Some of the deeper root causes of the wounds and the ills that we see around us. There may be a difference of opinion among a congregation like this one as to what those causes are, and that's fine, since we believe the search for truth in any area grows out of a free exchange of ideas and opinions. So this is the piece that involves forums and speakers on certain issues and discussion and debate, all those kinds of things that we like to do so much. So education, then, is another piece of social justice work. And then the third piece is advocacy. Now that we've bandaged up the wound, now that we've examined some of the causes of bleeding, what do we do, what can we do to stop it? What kinds of policies and actions can we advocate for that will greatly lessen the need for the bandages? We're always going to need bandages, one kind or another. We're always going to be seeking to bind up and attend to immediate wounds. But we can also advocate for policies and actions that will make, we hope, the bleeding and the wounds a little less. So social justice, social outreach work takes place on all three of these levels. And I think a good, well-balanced congregation is one that knows how to operate on all three. Some of you are probably better suited for one level than you are another. That's why it's a good thing to have a wide range of members of a congregation involved at whatever level you feel you can be the most effective. So before we get down to cases, I think we're going to hear from four members of our committee. I want to leave you with some words by the late Reverend Dr. Dana McLean Greeley, one of the premier Unitarian Universalist ministers of the 20th century. He said this some 35 years ago. His words are every bit as relevant today. Dr. Greeley, the challenge of the years ahead is that we command the affluence and the energy of the materialistic order to enhance human values and to make possible the achievement of the goals we really desire. Let us preserve and quicken our worship. Let us recapture the consciousness of the transcendent values of life and have the faith that is the evidence of things not yet seen. Let us make truth and justice and love and peace our primary business, and possess, if we can, both the patience and the perseverance in their pursuit. Very happy to have four members from our Social Justice Committee. Are going to each take a few moments to say what some of the things this their committee is focusing on for this year and encourage your involvement as well. So I believe we have the order that you're going in here. Ellen Barr, Adrian George, Mary Ferguson, Billy Peter.